Zaf Kuf Mem Zion. So let's take it the very bottom of Kuf Mem Vav Mem Beis, the last three words. Amar Rav Huna. Amar Rav Huna, going on to Kuf Mem Zion now. Haminar Talisa B'Shabbos Chayv Chatas. A person who shakes out their talis on Shabbos is Chayv Chatas. What's the Chatas? What's the violation? So Rashi says on the top here, Haminar Talisa Min Ha'afar. If there's some dust or dirt on his beged, and he shakes it out, that's called whitening, it's called laundering, that would be a violation, and a chiv chadas on Shabbos. Tosis argues, Tosis says, the dew that's on it, and that's called laundering, chayv chadas. As opposed to shaking something with dust or dirt on it, he does not think shaking off from dirt would result in libun. Libun is only when you're using something wet, a towel or water, but the dust itself would not be a violation of libun. So that's a very important machlokas between Rashi and Tosos. So the Gemara says now, after establishing shaking off a beged on Shabbos is a chiv chatas, the Gemara makes a number of qualifications. This is only true if it's a brand new beged, but if it's an old beged already, we're not so makbid on shaking it off or not. You don't care if it's a little dirty because it's already worn out. So even if one were to shake it out, it would not be a violation. Furthermore, the Gemara says, it's only talking about a black beged whereby cleaning off the dust or the towel would make a significant difference. Aval velo, but it comes to aval b'chivare v'sumki, white or red, where the towel or the dust won't make much of a difference, that would not be a violation either. And finally, a lesson above, v'hut the kapit alayo, has to be where he actually is makbid on it. He doesn't really care, even though he's shaking it out, he shakes it out, but in general, they're not makbid people on their clothing, then it would not be a violation either. So you need these different conditions. It has to be where you're makbid, has to be black, and it has to be a new beged. So the Gemara records a ma'isa, Ula ikle le Pumbadisa. Once he visited Pumbadisa, and Chazir Abanan, the Kamenafse Glimayu, he saw that their Abanan, the Tamid Chacham there, were like shaking out their begadim, some dust that was on it. So Amar, so Ula says, Ula came from Eretz Yisrael. So he sees in Pumbadisa, they're busy shaking out their begadim. He says, Kimachal and Rabbanan Shabbasa. The rabbis here, Michal Shabbos, they're cleaning their beged, they're violating kibbutz. So Amr Lahu Rav Yehuda, Yehuda explains, Nefute Le Ba'ape, they're shaking it in front of you, they don't really care about their clothing. So even though they're shaking it on, they're shaking it off, it's not because they're makbid, whatever reason they're doing this for, but since they're not makbid, as we just saw, this would not be in violation of kibbutz. So Gemara says, further now, Amr Abaye, Havakoi Kame Rav Yosef. One time Abaye was standing in the presence of Rav Yosef, and Amr Lahi says, Havali Kumsa, give me your hat. So Chazit Ika Tala Alai, we saw there was some dew, there's some towel on top of the hat. Hava Kimchasim Lemeisvele, he was going to give it, he's going to stop him from shaking. He says, you can't shake off my hat, it's going to be a violation of kibbutz. And Amalei Rav Yosef says, Nafot Shada, you could shake it off, not a problem. Anan Lo Kapitinamide, we don't really care about the towel, we're not makbid on this, so we are not in violation of this. So these are just two ma'isim that we see, that two stories of Rabbanim that were not makbid on the shaking off of the dew or shaking off the offer, but would not be in violation of kibbutz on Shabbos. So Gemara then says, Amr of Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amr of Yochanan. Hayotze betalis mekufelas munachas lo akseifo b'Shabbos chayv chatas. A person is carrying a beged on his shoulder, he's not wearing it, rather it's folded on his talis, he's kind of holding it on his beged, on his shoulders rather, he's leaving it resting on his shoulders, that's not considered wearing, that would be a chiv chatas, because Rashi says, ein ze derech malbish. When you kind of wrap it over your shoulders, that's not called regular wearing, and that's a chiv chatas. Gemara says, similarly, tani nami hochi, sochrei ksus, people who sell clothing, cloths, Hayotzin betalisos mikupalos, they're carrying cloth folded over their shoulder. Umnachas akseif and mishabes chayavim chatas, because again, they are not wearing it properly, they rather that's considered carrying it. V'lo sochrei ksus bilad amu, not only merchants who sell clothing, ela kol adam, every single person who carries in such a way, ela darkan so mochin lotse iskach, but just that's how sochrei ksus normally carry things, so we use them as the prime example. But ein echanami, anybody else who were to carry clothing on the shoulder, that's not called wearing and would be a chiv hotzah. Furthermore, v'chenvani hayotzi b'maos atzurin lo b'sadino, if a chenvani, a store owner, is carrying a pouch of money in his clothing, chayv chatas as well, because that's not called wearing, that's called carrying. And the Gemara again says, v'lo chenvani b'vad, I mean, we're not only talking about a chenvani, ela kol adam, any person who carries a pouch of money would be in violation, ela darchel shechenvani l'aseh kach, that's how normally a chenvani would carry around his money in the pouch attached to his beged. That's, again, not considered wearing, that's considered carrying. The Haratanim, which are people, Rashi say they've come from a certain place called Ratan or some sort. So they say, Yotzim besudarin, shal ksefan, they are allowed to walk around with some type of handkerchief that's folded over the shoulder, like a patch on the shoulder, that would be permitted. Velo b'ratan bilva, not only people from that city, but Amru, ela kol adam, anyone's allowed to carry it, because ela shadarchan sharatan latzeis b'kach, that's how they would wear it. So apparently wearing a handkerchief folded over the shoulder would not be considered carrying. That would actually be considered wearing it properly, and that's an example where you would be allowed to wear that. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Ma'isa b'Hurkanis Hurkanis b'Nosher b'Yalzar ben Hurkanis, the grandson of Hurkanis, so the son of Rabbi Yalzar ben Hurkanis, she'yatzah b'sudar shakseva b'Shabbos. He wore such a handkerchief on his shoulder like this. Elashanima krucha l'be'etzba, but he was holding onto a thread in his finger, wrapped down his finger. Why was he doing that? So Rashi explains the shaloipa miksefav, so it wouldn't fall. So somehow he's keeping it onto his shoulder by wrapping it to his finger. Then in case it were to fall, it wouldn't fall onto the ground. He could just put it back onto his shoulder. That's what he would do. This is a chumra, the Gemara says. Because the Gemara says, k'shebal l'davar, l'fnei chachamim amru, afil einima krucha lo be'etzba. Even if he did not have a thread attached to his finger, wrapped down his finger, it would still be permitted because having the handkerchief apparently on the shoulder, like a shoulder pad of some sort, that's considered a normal way of malbush and entirely permitted. So, Darish of Nachman by Rav Chista, Mishmei de Rav Chista, Halacha, Ava Pish Ein Nima Krucha Lo Be'etzbo. So, we paskin like this din that you can have the sudar on the shoulder even if it's not wrapped around your finger. So, Gemara now goes into.
Right. And there's a little, right. Hang it on a hook, and let's say hold like that.
So that would be considered carrying, yeah.
So Gemara
said, Ula Ekle, Ukla visited Lebei Asya Barhina. One time Ula visited the house of Asi Barhina, Ba'imine. They asked the following Shiloh. Mahu lasos marzev b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to make a marzev b'Shabbos? Now, marzev literally means a type of gutter of some sort. If you look at Rashi and Tosfos Machlok is what exactly is the violation here. Rashi says marzev. Where did Rashi go? One second here. He says, I'll explain later on, but in essence, you're trying to fold the talus in such a way where it appears like a little clear. You're making a type of, look, it's not really, you're not making a gutter in your house, but fold it in such a way where it's a little cup. So the question is, are you able to make this type of cup on Shabbos with your beged? So Gemara explains that Amrle Hachi Amrei Rabbi. So he says Hachi shows him Hachi Amrei Rabbi Alai Asalasos Marzev Shabbos. So one second here. I think I skipped a line here again. Ula ikli be asi barhini by mine mahu lasos Marzev Shabbos. Amrle Hachi Amrei Rabbi Alai Asalasos Marzev Shabbos. My Marzev. What's the Marzev? Amrei Rabbi Zera. Kisi b'blaisa. So if you look at Rashi says, Kisi b'blaisa, shemesalkin b'gdem min ha'aretz. You kind of lift the beged from dragging on the ground. Kishen aruchim, when they're very, very long. The kofen also, klapi mala, and you kind of fold it up. You hold up the bottom of your robe, let's say, so it doesn't drag on the ground. And it's called prunzish u'machzik, and also aydechut, and you have thread strings holding it up. So it's kind of curved upward, so it doesn't drag on the ground. Behind you, kiss, but kimin marzev, it's like a little kiss, a little pocket you made, or a little marzev, a little gutter you made. You kind of curled it up at the bottom. So the Gemara says, Rashi rather says, aser, mishum tikkun mano. That's fixing. You're making a shape. You're making a kli of some sort. It's an aser, mishum tikkun mano. Tosas, however, the long Tosas, we just read the first line, Tosas argues and says, no, nira, the Rebbe, the inner iser hotzah. So my hotzah, you're carrying the bottom of the beggar, that's not called wearing. So machlok is whether it's tikkun mana or whether it's iser hotzah. But either way, the Gemara says it's usher to do so.
While he's wearing,
yeah, exactly. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Yirmiya, have a yosef kame de Rabbi Zera. Amale hachi mai. What about if you fold it in such a way? So Rashi says he showed a certain way to fold it. So he says, can you do it this way? Amale usher. He says, what about this way? Hachi mai. What about this way? Amale usher. So we're not sure exactly what he was showing, but he showed different ways of curling it up and curving it upwards. No matter how you bent up the beged, when you hold it, when the threads, it's a violation of either tikkun mana or hotza. So Gemara says, Amr Rapapa. Rapapa says, knock it high klala biyadik. Hold on to this principle in your hand. Kol adaita dilechnufei aser. Anything you're trying to do to Rashi says, shu musukan tamid lahamid kipuli li'olmi. You're trying to fold something up where it's going to remain that way forever. That's a violation of tikkun mana. That's aser. That's Rashi's pshat in the Gemara. So that you can't do. However, Gemara says, kol tilisanos shari, that which you're trying to do to beautify, which Rashi means lefisha, only temporarily, I mean you don't want to have it drag in the ground, so outside you carry it up a little bit, and then you let it go back down. So if it's, Rashi says, even though knufa sounds like folding up, and lisanos sounds like to beautify, Rashi says, one's liolam, one's lefisha. So if it's liolam, you're making it, trying to curve it up so it stays there for a long time, that's aser tikkun mana. If you're doing it only if you show, that's when it's permitted. So that's the klal according to Rashi's understanding of Rapapa. So then the Gemara says, ki ha derebe shisha, brediv idi, misna besadino, hava, just like apparently the way Rav Shisha would do this, he would kind of fold it up, lefisha only, and that would be allowed to do so. So the Rashi just explains here, misna besadino, achashin es atif, after he'd wrap himself in his beged, ha'imitakna gufo miyashva, he kind of fixed it on his body, he would have readjusted, u'bechol kamar, and this would be during the regular day of the week. So you just adjust it, make it look nice, and kolomer alma dorach ha'bach, that's how he would normally do this, v'huadin l'shabbos, but he wasn't fixing anything li'olam, he was just sometime readjusting it, pulling up the bottom of the beged, so it doesn't drag on the ground. That would be entirely normal, the Gemara says. So then the Gemara says, right before the last few lines of the Mishnah, Ki Aser Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi reported back, when he came back from Eretz Yisrael, he reported, he said, Amar, Pam Achas, Yatzer Rebbe Lasada. One time Rebbe had went out to the field, and Hayushnei Tzite Taliso Munacham Al Ksefo, and the two edges of his talis he kind of pulled over his shoulder. So Amar Lefanav, they said to him, Yeshua ben Ziriz, ben Chama of Asher Rebbe Meir. So Yeshua ben Ziriz was the son of the father-in-law of Rebbe Meir. In other words, he was the brother-in-law of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir's wife's brother was Yeshua ben Ziriz. So Yeshua ben Ziriz, who again was ben Chama of Rebbe Meir, Bezu lochai Rebbe Meir chadas. So Rashi says this was raised a bitmia as a question. If you wrap the end of your beged over your shoulder, that's called carrying. It's a violation of tzah. That's called wearing. So Amar Lei, so he says back, Diktek Rebbe Meir ad kan. Was he so medaktek, Rashi, this too is a bitmia? Diktek Rebbe Meir ad kan, says Rashi, bitmia. The chayv chatas bedavar hadomer lios mutter, kazeh. He's going to chayv chatas on that which looks so mutter. Kishayinu mukupel sacharev, noflim lamata, mekseifav, eshetzidav hayumunachav akseifo. He didn't bring the back of his bag over his shoulders. He just put the sides over, like we wear talis. You can wear a talis and let it hang over on all ends, let it drape over entirely, or you can pick up the side so you expose your arms. But the back is still hanging. So if the back is still hanging, that's a normal way to wear things. He would say that. He was medaktik so much. If you pull the sides up, that's a chiv chatas, even though the back is still hanging on the back there. So the Gemara says, so shul shu Rebbe taliso. So he let his beged kind of fall down. He was mo that he accepted his words and let the talis fall off his shoulders. And it was just kind of draped over his whole body with not holding anything over the shoulders. That's one report of what he had said happened. And then the Gemara says, ki yasa Rabin, when Rabin came back from Eretz Yisrael, not Rav Dimi, this one's Rabin, Amar lo, he says, lo Yeshua ben Ziriz haya. It wasn't involved in Rabbi Shua. Ela Yeshua ben Kfusai, a different Yeshua. Not ben Ziriz, but rather ben Kfusai. And he was haya chosna shir Rabbi Akiva, the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva. And Amar, he says, bazul, lo chai Rabbi Akiva chatas. In this one, Rabbi Akiva would not mechai v'chatas. If you're carrying it over your shoulders, of course you're chai v'chatas. Amar lo, he says back, diktek Rabbi Akiva ad kan. He is so medakek that even though only the shoulders were brought over, only the sides were brought over the shoulders, he's a chiv chatas. So shul shu Rebbe taliso. So he again lowered down the side of the beged. He continued and he let it down. So ki asir of Shmuel by Rav Yehuda amar nishal itmar. So he says nishal itmar. What does that mean? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says nishal itmar. Lo yira ma'is ezel Rebbe. This was not a ma'is that happened to Rebbe himself, actually. It was just it was a question that was raised, a conversation they were having, but he wasn't actually wearing it. They were just talking about a theoretical situation. Now, this isn't a ma'is for us, but it's a ma'is of a person walking outside where there's no air of how a person should carry it. Should a person walk, with the talus kind of hanging over, or should he pull up over the shoulders? I once read an article I think it's Mishpacha many, many years ago, that Rav Neventzal, based on a brisk chumer, perhaps based on the sugi here, that when he would carry, he wouldn't hold of the air, his mach would not to hold of the air of a new shalim. So when he would walk around on Shabbos with a talus, he would wear it regularly over the shoulders, but he would tie the ends, a little knot over there, to be wrapped around the neck. This way it wouldn't fall off. Meaning the two issues with carrying a talus or anything. One issue is if it's considered wearing versus carrying. Number two is if it falls off, it's not considered, it might fall off. So it seemed that in terms of wearing, he felt if it's over the shoulders, that's called wearing. But there's a second issue that it might slip off. So you have to tie a little knot over there. This way it won't fall off. That's why I remember reading it. It's a brisk chumra, I think. That's what the article had said. Either way, there seems to be some debate of whether putting off the shoulders is considered normal wearing or that's considered carrying. Okay, the new Mishnah down the bottom of Kuf and Mizayim and Alpha Gemara said, the Mishnah says that Harochet b'mei ma'ara u'b'mei teveri, a person who bathes in a cave or water of a cave or in the hot springs of mei teveri. Rashi explained here just the mei ma'ara, mei mikvah mukara shucham. It's talking about an enclosed mikvah where the water's hot. Vein chomayotze, the heat is not released. It's preserved in the cave because it's closed. V'dafka chomenaket menokat b'shem hachik ketani harochet b'dievi. We're talking about the warm water. That's why the situation b'dievi, you're not supposed to bathe in warm water on Shabbos. So a mei mikvah, a mei ma'ara, a mei teveri, the Mishnah says, v'nistapik, and then afterwards he dries himself off, he cleans off with a towel. Afil b'eser alontios, even if he uses 10 different towels to clean himself, lo yiviyam b'yado, he should not carry them. Why not? So Rashi explains here, Afilu b'esal alontios, sadinim shemekanachin ben, 10 different towels to clean himself. V'sipik ben zachar, he uses this one, and then he uses the next one. You know, if you have 10 towels, the towels are not going to get very waterlogged. If one person's using 10 towels, each one will be very, very dry. Rebusa, it's a chiddush. Delo nefishimaya b'kochat, since you're spreading out the water amongst 10 different towels, and none of them will be very wet. Afuhachi, despite the fact that none of them will be wet, lo yiviyem biyado besoch beso. A person should not carry them. Afulai de air, even if there's an air, forgetting hotzah, there's a concern, shema yishkach v'yitzchad bivo. Maybe he's going to wring out the beged because of the wetness. Now we're talking about, again, 10 towels for one guy to use after a bath. It's not going to get very wet, and yet still the Mishnah was concerned of a schita on Shabbos. However, the Mishnah says, aval asar b'nei adam, if you have 10 people, mistapkin balontis achas, using one towel, so 10 people sharing the same towel, that towel is going to be very, very wet, then the din is, paneim yadeim raglam, they're using it to wash their hands, and dry their hands, and their feet, the legs, and the rashi's entire body even, mevin osan biyadan, they're allowed to carry it. Why? What's the difference in this case, carrying it? Because since there are 10 people that are using one towel, they're going to remind each other and make sure no one's going to be in violation of schita. So the Mishnah then says further, Sachin umimashmishin, a person could rub oil and Rashi says, biyad al koa guflahana, you could rub oil into the body on Shabbos for hana. We're not talking about for refuah purposes, just for hana, just to enjoy the certain hana, a certain satisfaction person when he rubs oil and massages oil into the skin, that's allowed on Shabbos. Aval, what you can do, the Mishnah says, avalo misamlin. Misamlin is lashavshi bekoak, to rub it really strong. The reason you can't do that, there's a machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Chanan, Rashi explained this is uvda dechol, to rub it in a very aggressive way. That's uvda dechol. You rub it slowly is allowed. Rabbeinu Chanan felt there was some type of refuah to do on Shabbos, either uvda dechol or refuah. Similarly, the Gemara says v'lo misgarin. Misgarin, Rashi explains, is to use some type of comb, which is like scraping, and you can't scrape the skin. That's also uvda dechol, and perhaps Rabbeinu Chanan would say this too is refuah. And the Mishnah says further, Ein Yordan Lekurduma, it's a type of river you can't go in on Shabbos. Gemara will explain why that is. Ve'ein Osin Apiktosin, you can't make that lahaki to cause a person to vomit. You can't do that on Shabbos. Ve'ein Ma'atzvin Sakatan Ma'atzvin, Rashi explains here, is a way of putting the bones in position of a young child to make sure the spine and back is all in proper position. That's not allowed either on Shabbos. And the ein machsirin es hashever, you can't put back a broken bone or a bone that popped out of a socket. You can't fix that on Shabbos. That's an issue of refuah. And misha nifrako yado raglo, a person whose hand or leg broke, lo yirtar from betonin, you can't rub it in cold water. That's somehow a refuah. I guess it's relaxing the area, the swelling. About rochetsu kadarko, vim nisapet, but could take a bath, go into water in a regular way, which other healthy people would be allowed to do. That's allowed, even though one might get a refuah on Shabbos. So a list of many different things together in this Mishnah, from going to the mikvah and using towels to rubbing oil and fixing bones on Shabbos. So Gemara explains, Katani, mei ma'ara dumya demei teveria. that the water of the cave is similar to the water of Tveria. Ma me Tveria chamin af me mara chamin, just like me Tveria is hot springs, it's warm water, hot water. So too we're describing a me mara that's also hot water. So arochet dievet in lichachilala. So this is only b'dievet, because you're not supposed to go in hot water on Shabbos. So the reason we saw in the Gemara on Shabbos, much earlier in the Masechta, like 120 days ago, like the Chafs or something, that maybe the Lamids, the din was that they wouldn't go to a hot bath on Shabbos because they're concerned that the bath attendants would be firing up the fire on Shabbos and boiling the water. So you can't go to a bathhouse on Shabbos, a hot bathhouse on Shabbos, and extending that to Me Tveria as well, hot springs, even though that was natural. So that's b'dievet, a person goes, but l'chachil, a person should not go to Me Tveria, nor should he go to Me Mara. So Gemara now is medayik, that only rechitzas us, rechitzas is a bath. So mechlal, this implies, going on to Amr Beis now, to l'shtatef kol gufo, afilo l'chachil shapir. Rashi explained, l'shtatef is a shower, where you shovchen al gufo, you pour water over yourself, to lav derech rechitzi, shari l'chachil afilo b'chamim. Pouring water, nowadays shower would be more probably more common than baths. Back then, baths were permitted. They didn't have the plumbing to allow for a shower. Shower meant to pour buckets over your head. So shower was considered more of a shinoi. So only a bath, going into a bath that was submerging yourself into a mei ma'ara, into a bath, that would be an usur, but lishadev would be permitted. So Gemara says, money, who is the author? Who allows you? Who says it's usur to do rechitza, but permitted to do lishadev? Rabbi Shimon, this is all the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The sanya lo yishatev adam bein b'chamin bein mitzonin divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir asked, he made no distinction between a bath and a shower. It's also to do both of them on Shabbos, whether it's cold or hot water. Rabbi Shimon, however, matir, he permitted one to take a shower on Shabbos, even though bath was aser. He said showering would be permitted. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'chamin aser b'tonei mutter. He says there's only true by taking a hot shower, but a cold shower would be permitted. So we go according to Rabbi Shimon, who permitted a shower on Shabbos. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Nistapik afil b'eser alontios, that a person were to use 10 different cloths, 10 different towels on Shabbos, even though it's one person, and each cloth, each towel would be very dry, it's aser for him to carry this on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Reisha rebusa kamashvilam, the Sefer rebusa kamashvilam, the first case of one person using 10 towels, and the Sefer of 10 people using one towel, each of them has its own chiddush. Reisha rebusa kamashvilam, the chiddush of the first case of the guy using 10 towels, even though there's not so much water in each of the towels, since there's one person we're talking about, then there's a chashash asili de schita. It might come to schita because no one's there to remind him. Safe, however, rabusa kamashvlam, afilu hani nefisha, even though there's so much water all in one towel, kaven de rabin, since there are many people who are using the same towel, mitchar ahadadi, they remind each other and they'll avoid violating any form of schita. So Gemara now quotes a brisa, Tanur Rabbanan, Mistapik Adam Balontios, Minicha Bechalom. A person who dries himself afterwards on Shabbos should take the towel and just place it by the window, by the whatever, some type of hole, some type of locker, and he shouldn't move it. Loim Serenu Lo Liran Mipnesha Chashudim Al Osadabar. But don't give it to the bath attendants, the Balonim, because we're concerned that they would start wringing out the towel. So just leave it on the side somewhere. Don't hand it over to the attendants. Rabbi Shimon, Omer Mistapeg Velontis Achas Mavia Biado Lesoch Bezo. He felt that a person can use one towel, and you can even carry it, you can move around. He wasn't concerned with Schita. So Amrle Abayler of Yosef, Hilchas Amai, how do you paskin? Can you carry the towel or can you not carry the towel? So Amrle, HaRabbi Shimon, HaRabbi, HaShmuel, HaRabbi Yochan. We see that each of these individuals permitted. So how do we see each of these four Tanam hold of this? So we have Rabbi Shimon hold the Amram, we just saw above. Rabbi Shimon says you could carry a wet towel on Shabbos. Rabbi, where does he Rabbi hold this way? Desanya, Amr Rabbi, Kishayinu lemeidim Torah, it's a Rabbi Shimon. We learn by Rabbi Shimon, B'takua, in that place, Hayu malin shemen v'alontis b'chatz l'gag, u'megag l'karfev, ad sheinu magin eitzel mayan, sheirok simbo. That we see that we learned by Rabbi Shimon, we would carry oil, we would carry the towel from place to place, from the chatzar to Gag, and so on, until we reached the spring. So they allowed carrying towels on Shabbos as well. Now, granted, Rabbi was a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon, but still, he himself, Rabbi, became a great Rav of his own right, and he attested to this when he was younger. So these are two statements of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi, who both agreed to this. Furthermore, Shmuel, where does he Shmuel also agree to this? Damar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mistapik Adam Balontis Umavia Biyadol L'Sach Beisa. Another clear statement that Shmuel also agrees. There are three now people who pass in this way. And Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, Mestapik Adam, Balon Tis Meuviyam Biyadol L'Sach Beso, that you're allowed to carry a towel on Shabbos. So these four, for Tanaim, two Tanaim, two Amaraim, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi, and Rabbi Yochanan, Shmuel, all allowed you to carry even a wet towel on Shabbos. Wet towel on Shabbos. So Gemara says, now, Umi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really permit this? V'ha Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, Kistam Mishnah. Does Rabbi Yochanan have this klal throughout Shas? We always pass like a Stam Mishnah. And our Stam Mishnah here in Masechah Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amr Alf, it says, V'nistapik afil b'esra alontios, lo yivyam b'yodo. You can't carry on Shabbos. So Gemara says, this is not a Stam Mishnah. The Mishnah is really hahu k'ben chachinoi masilei, and end up being a Das Yachana. Even though the Mishnah doesn't say it here, I guess a Brisa somewhere else had added this name in, so this is really a Das Yachid, and therefore the four other statements is the halacha that one may carry even a wet towel, even by yourself, on Shabbos. So Gemara then says, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi, I think it's Rabbi Yochanan here, that is follows. How Yarin Mivin Balari Nashim. So the different bath attendants were allowed to carry the women's towels or women's clothing on Shabbos for drying, the Bei Bani, in order to get it to the base of Merchatz. Ubevad Shiyas Kaseben Roshan Veruban. So we're talking about this case carrying in Rishis Rabim, no Erev. So the question is wearing versus carrying. So they're allowed to schlep them over to the base of Merchatz as long as they were wearing it properly, which meant Yiskaseh, but Rosh and Merubah, that it was covering their head, covering most of their body. That's called wearing, and that would be Derech Malbush, permitted on Shabbos. Sachnisa, which is some type of a large handkerchief that would wrap around the head, Amar Rabbi Abin bar Rav Chista, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tzarech Lekasha Shnei Rasheh Lemati. You need to tie the two ends of the handkerchief when wearing over the head, you need to carry it somehow part of the body, connected to each other, so it doesn't fall off. V'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lematim iksefayim. You have to tie it somehow below the shoulders. There's an area to tie it to the clothing in order that it shouldn't fall. As Rashi says, shlo tipol merosha. So this too was a way of carrying things and making sure that it wouldn't fall off. That would be allowed on Shabbos as well. So Amar Lahu Rava lebnei Mechuza. Rava said to the people of the city of Mechuza. That's where Rava lived. Ki mabrisa money levnei chala, when you'd have to bring clothing to the bnei chala, which were the soldiers would come to the cities oftentimes, you have to feed them, give them food. Rashi explains here, mabrisa money levnei chala, kishetaviu bigdei haovdei kochavim bnei achayil hamutalon aleichem l'shamshin, when they would come, the non-Jewish soldiers would come to the city and you'd be forced to serve them food and clothing and whatnot, v'atem mevin lahem b'shavas derech v'shis rabim, and you're schlepping things through shis rabim, what should you do? So he says, "Sharbive behu lamata mixifayim." Make sure you wear the clothing in such a way where they hang lower than your shoulders, because if they're above the shoulders, you're carrying towels on your shoulders. That's considered carrying. But if you let it kind of drape below the shoulders, that's considered wearing, and that's derech malbush, and you would be allowed to carry it or wear it to bring it to the chayalim. So Gemara then quoted from the Mishnah, "Sachin umemashbishim," that you could rub oil on the skin, put oil on, and rub it in. So that was a derech hanah we said in the Mishnah. So Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Sachin umimashmishin b'vnei ma'ayim b'shabbos, you could take oil and rub it on the stomach, ubevad shelo yaseh kederech shu'osu b'chol, as long as you don't do it the way you do it in a weekday. What does that mean? Keitzad, hechi avid. Rebbe Chama bar Chanina Amar, sach v'charkach mimashmish. The way it normally would be, apparently, you would first kind of rub and soothe the stomach, and then you pour the oil on afterwards. That's how they would do this on the weekday. So on Shabbos, you would first pour the oil on, and then you'd massage the stomach. That's the shinui. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, sach umimashvish bevasachas. He says, no, you do it at the same time. Somehow you put oil on your hand, you rub the oil at the same time, as opposed to pouring the oil and then rubbing it in, or rubbing and then putting the oil in. You do it all at the same time. One motion of the oil and rubbing all at once, that would be the permitted shinui on Shabbos. So then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Avalo Misalman. You can't do Misalman, which was a very aggressive way of rubbing the oil into the skin. And that we said was a machlokis, either because Uvda Dechol, according to Rashi, or it was a refuah, according to Rabbeinu Chananel. So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Aser Lamod Bekarkasia Shel Diumsis. The person should not stand at the edge, the ground of this river. It was a very a muddy river. Because it was a very salty, perhaps something similar to the Yam HaMelech, where it was very salty, and it had a medicinal benefits in doing so, that would be a violation of refuah to stand at the bottom of such a river. Rashi explained that this was a Nahr that was very salty, and Mimamelas is mechamemes, it warms a person up, And the tit is a maluach, it was very salty dirt, which somehow was beneficial for the body. It was like, again, going to the Dead Sea, where you have these different pools of salt, which help out the body. So that's asa mishum refu. So then the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Marav, koyameh shel diomsis, all the waters of this river, esim ve'echad yom ataris me'aminim, it's most beneficial for 21 days from ataris, and ataris is part of that minim. So Gemara says, 21 days in which direction? Ibailu ataris lahagisa lahagisa. Is ataris shvuas the first day, or is it the last day? So, meaning is the 21st day from, you know, Zayin Sivan, Vav Sivan, 21 days then, or does it start 21 days in Sphere and end on Atzeres? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Damar, Shmuel, Kulu, Shikyane, all the different drinks, all the liquids, Midivche, Vatarta, Malazivche, Divche, we say is a Zevach, it's a carbon Pesach. So the day of Zevach, that's carbon Pesach, from Pesach until Atzeres, until Shavuos, is Malu. These particular drinks that were meant for Refuah are all very beneficial for a person during the period of the Sfiras Omer, between Pesach and Shavuos. So here as well, seemingly that Ataris is the end of this time period for this 21 days of the waters of the Omsis being beneficial for a person. So Gemara says, Dilma hasem hu dekama dekar almei mali. Maybe by the drinking of the refuah, the colder it is, the better it is. But after Shavuos, when things in the world start to get much hotter, then it's no longer beneficial. Avahacha here, mishum havlahu. But maybe by the dirt and the waters of the Omsis, it's actually better where it creates hevel. It's the fumes that make it better. So maybe hot is better. So maybe by the drinks, cold is better. But maybe by the river, that which is hotter is better. So maybe we're talking about 21 days after Shavuos. How is there raya from this Gemara? Every medicine works differently. So Gemara says, Kevin dechamim amat feimala. Perhaps the more the heat, the better it is. So therefore, it seems that the Gemara concludes that we're talking about 21 days after Atzeres. So Gemara then says, Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Chamra de Prugisa, the wine that was found in the city of Prugisa, or the area of Prugisa, Umay de Diomsis, the water of this river, Kipchu Aseres Ashratim Mishal, had caused the Aseres Ashratim to get lost in this world. Because they were so engaged in the waters of the Diomsis, enjoying the spas there, and the delicious wines of this area, they were so engaged in Gashmis, they lost the Derech HaTorah. So Gemara says, a very fascinating Gemara here, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach, Ikli Lahasim. He once visited these areas where the beautiful spas and the waters and the wines of the Prugisa, Imshech Basayo, he was drawn in and he started living a life of delicacies, of fanciness and spas and whatnot. Iyakar Tamuda, he forgot all the learning. So Kihadar, when he came back to the city, so Asa Kamila Mikre Besifra, he was learning, he was called up to read from the Torah, and Bari Lemikre, up to Parshas Bo. And he read the pasuk Hachodesh Zelachem. Instead of reading Hachodesh Zelachem, he read it as Amar Hacheresh Haya Libam, which means the deaf upon the heart. He misread the word, the pasuk. So the Gemara said that before going weiter, they actually point out in the Svarim that why Dafka these letters. So they say that the letters Resh Yud Beis were the letters that he replaced it. Resh Yud Beis and Apikabala that Riv Resh Yud Beis are the letters of a certain. One of the mazikin that causes a person to forget. It's brought down to many, many Ramazim for this. Riv is fighting. We have many places in Medjugorje where fighting causes a person to forget Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hakas, it causes them to forget. Many, many instances throughout the Tanakh that happened. So Riv, Resh Yud Beis, causes a person to forget. There's a lot more, many, many more Ramazim how that works out exactly. But Hacheresh Hayal Libam, he read. So by Rabbanan, Rachme Alai, the daven for him. V'hadr Tamudei, he remembered his learning. This is, you know, what Rebbe was talking about yesterday, how would a person, the memory is all there, just about accessing the memory. You have to kind of bring it out. And so, therefore, it wasn't that he forgot it no longer existed. It's somewhere deep in the recesses of his memory, so they're able to somehow access the memory, and it came back. So, behind the town, that's what the Mishnah teaches in Maseches Avos, that Rebbe Nuhurai, Amar, Rebbe Nuhurai, said, have a goal of Makom Torah. A person's going to be exiled. He should make sure to exile himself to a place of Tamid Chachamim. Val Tomer, he should not say to himself, "She tavo acharecha." Don't worry that I'll go there; that my tamidim will follow me. Not true, because she chaverecha yikaimu biyadcha. His friends will come to him. Val binascha al tishan. Don't rely on your own bina. You can never rely on yourself entirely. Don't trust your mind. Don't trust people are going to follow you. If you want to ensure that you're going to remain at Tamid Chacham, go to a place that's full of Tamid Chachamim. Don't exile yourself to a place that's full of the enjoyments of the world. So the Gemara says, Tana, who is Rabbi Nuhurai? Lo Rabbi Nuhurai Shemo. His name was not really Rabbi Nuhurai. Ella Rabbi Nechemi Shemo. His name is really Rabbi Nechemi. Others say, Amrilei, this was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach Shmo. He himself experienced Gullus going to some place where there's no Torah and he forgot it. He was the Baal Maimer of this statement. Rabbi Nurai. Why was he called Rabbi Nurai? Sheman here, Eini Chachamim Halacha. He was able to bring clarity, light to the eyes of Chachamim in passing Shilas. Either way, he had a personal experience where he forgot the Torah of being sent to Gullus himself, self-imposed Gullus to a place that he went. So Gemara then quotes the Mishnah further about lo miskarin, a person should not kind of scrape his body with this type of, I don't know, brush of some sort. It's a form of uvda dechol. So Gemara says, Tanur Rabban, the Braisa teaches us that ein garin b'migreris b'shabbos, you can't do this, as we just saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer im hayu raglava miluchlachos betit uvitsoa gorer kedarko v'nechoshes. If a person, however, he's walking his feet barefoot and is full of mud and excrement, he wants to clean it off, that's allowed. That's not considered a hana, that's not uvda dechol. You're just trying to clean yourself, you're filthy. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda avdele ema megarta dekaspe, his mother would make a special comb that he could use on Shabbos. So it's brought down actually the halacha that using brush on Shabbos for hair. So there are two main issues when it comes to using brush on Shabbos. One is you're going to pull out the hair. So you can't use a type of brush that's going to pull out hair. But if it's a soft brush where it's not going to pull out hair, that's allowed. But there's a second factor, which is this Gemara, you have to use a special brush that's miyuchad for Shabbos, a special Shabbos brush. Now, it doesn't have to mean it has to say Shabbos on it. But a woman who uses a brush on Shabbos, uses it the proper way. She doesn't pull out the hair in a soft brush. She should have one specially designated for Shabbos and one for the week. Because based on this Gemara here, that if you're using the same one during the week, that's considered uvdu dechol. So just like Rav Shmuel Yehuda's mother made a special type of brush to use on Shabbos, a silver one. So you should have a special, not a silver one, that could be expensive, but a special Shabbos that's designated, a special brush designated just for Shabbos use. And many women who learn this, they go to school, the girls learn this in school usually. So Gemara then says, Ein Yordin the Korduma. A person should not go to this river called Korduma on Shabbos. The Mishnah didn't explain why. Why not? So Gemara says, My time, Mishim Pika. What's the Pika? So the Pika, Rashi explains, is it's a dirt there. Tit shall also nar machlik. It's very slippery, the mud around the river. Ubigdei ha'adam nishorin v'mayim kishu nofer v'asu v'deitzchita. So it's very slippery riverbanks, and you might fall in. And when you come out, you're going to try to wring out your clothing. So they said, avoid this area. Too many people have fallen to the river. Just stay away on Shabbos. It's not a place to hang out on Shabbos. We don't want to have any violations of Shechita. And then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Ein Osin Apktvizan B'Shabbos, which was something that caused a person to vomit on Shabbos. So Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ela B'Sam. It's only a violation if you're using some type of medicine. A person drinks something to cause him to vomit. That's Aser. That's a form of Shechika Simanim. It's a form of Refu on Shabbos. Aval b'yad, person using his hand, using his finger to vomit, that's allowed on Shabbos. Not very pleasant, but if a person needs to vomit for whatever reason it might be, he's allowed to only use a hand, but not any type of medicine. So Tanya the Braisa, however, argues and says, Rabbi Nechemi Omer, af b'chol aser, even during the weekday, one's prohibited from causing him to vomit. Why? B'bnei hefsid ochlim, the form of bal tashchis, and therefore bal tashchis will cause a person to go hungry. You can't even do this during a weekday. And finally, we'll finish with this. The Gemara says, "Vein matzvin es hakatan." A person can fix if there's some bones that are at a place. You can't adjust it on Shabbos. Wait till after Shabbos to do so. So, Amar Rabba bar Barchana, Amar Yochanan, lafufei yinucha b'Shabbos shaper dami. What does that mean? So, if you look at Rashi, lafufei, he first has a French word, un mlutie. Kumo shosin lakatan shiyas yashvu evera v'lo yisakim. When a child's born, oftentimes they wrap it in a little cloth. Keep the baby tight and warm, but part of it's also to keep the bone structure pretty firm. So that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. So Gemara says, V'hanan tanan ein matzvin, you're not allowed to reposition the bones. How come it says you can? So Gemara says, Hasam b'churme shidira d'mechse kibonim. To wrap the child, to keep the bones straight and firm, that's allowed. Our Mishnah was talking about a situation where the spine was somehow not straight. So then when you're trying to readjust the spine in such a way, that's considered, it looks like binyan, and therefore it's a different case. Just stop wrapping a child's allowed. But to, again, reposition the spine, that's where we said don't do on Shabbos, wait till after Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, everyone, have a wonderful Shabbos, and we will continue on Sunday.